Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which is tasked with the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. Welcome. In this Wednesday's message, Bishop Dag will teach you four privileges that man enjoyed in the Garden of Eden before the fall after the serpent's visitation. Since the serpent entered into the Garden of Eden and bit mankind, he spat his venom and poison into the world to destroy God's creation. However, God remedied this by sending Jesus Christ into the world. Jesus Christ embodies life, and he was sent to earth in order for us to receive a fresh start. Life is coming to you as you receive today's wonderful word to overcome the serpent's seed.
On the cross of Calvary, Jesus died for me. By his blood, I am set free. All because of Calvary. Jesus died for me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Let's pray. Father, thank you for another Easter Sunday morning. We give you thanks for your blessing. We ask, O Lord, that you speak to our hearts, guide us by your Spirit. Thank you that you came and died on the cross for us and rose again. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Are you glad that Jesus died for you on the cross? Turn with me to John chapter 1. Please. And I am preaching about life, resurrection life. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 4. What does it say? In him was life. And the life was the light of men. Amen. And the light shines on in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. But let's read from the beginning. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him came nothing into being that has come into being. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. Amen. Jesus Christ embodies life. He came to give us life. And so he died on the cross and rose from the dead, triumphant over death. Amen. Death is one of the very difficult things to deal with in this life. Death ministers to us the futility of everything on this earth. Is that not so? Everything we build, everything we try to achieve, everything we try to acquire is neutralized by death. Everything we are is made into nothing by death. Death cancels everything we build. Did you know that? I am sure some of you have heard about Reverend Eastwood's unfortunate tragedy of what has happened with his children. I just spoke with him. And it's not easy to lose two of your children. In fact, six of your children. Because the spiritual children as well in one sudden blow. But I tell you, it is only Jesus Christ that can make some kind of meaning. You know, and that is why Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, the thief comes to steal, to kill. Are you with me? Turn with me, because we are looking at life. Amen. Verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. So Jesus Christ came to give us and to bring us life. Amen. And one of the things about the life that he gives us is that you may not understand this till you experience death at close quarters. Then you understand why Jesus came when he says, I have come that you might have life. You ask yourself, but I'm alive. So if you've come that I might have life, I don't really need what you've come for, because I'm having a good time. I'm enjoying life. How many have said before that I'm enjoying life? Or how many have seen somebody before you think the person is enjoying life? So look at them, they are enjoying life. So since they are enjoying life, why do they need Jesus Christ? Since they already, not only do they have life, but they are enjoying life. Have you ever told somebody that you are full of life? Or have you ever seen somebody say, this person is full of life? So if Jesus comes and says, I have come that you may have life, then the big question you ask is that we are already full of life. We already have life and we are enjoying life. So what are you bringing? You are not bringing anything useful. But when you go on in life, you will realize that death is about to make everything you have done in this world useless. Hey! And that's why Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God has come to save us from going to hell. Turn with me to John chapter 3, verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. And here is this beautiful verse, which says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Sing it for me, please.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life.
Wow, is it not powerful?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son,
that is verse 17,
into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Wash away our sin.
Hallelujah. All right. So God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Amen. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Now, verse 35. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his Son. John 3, verse 36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life. Amen. If you do not obey the Son, you will not see life. Hallelujah. Now, God has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to give us life. Now, what is this life that he is giving us? At the beginning of the Bible, you see man in the Garden of Eden. And at the end of life, you see man back in the garden with the tree of life again. So the Bible starts with the tree of life and with man right at the beginning. And it ends in the book of Revelation with man having been restored back to where he used to be. So man was originally created with a certain kind of life. And then one day, the serpent came into the garden and bit the person. Now, those of you who don't live in places where there are a lot of snake bites, you will not understand what it means to be bitten by a snake. But if you, one time I was watching a documentary about of snakes in India, and I saw this man. He was working on his rice farm, and there was a cobra in the farm. And he was just working, and they just stepped by mistake on the cobra. And as soon as he felt it, like that, he looked at his leg, and he saw the fangs, and then he started running, trotting, long distance, ran to the next hospital, knowing that as this snake has bitten him, he is going to die unless he's able to get some kind of help soon. Because a snake bite will just change everything about your body. If you are bitten by a cobra, it paralyzes your nerves. So your muscles are not able to move. And so you are killed by the poison that spreads and comes eventually to where you are breathing, and it paralyzes the muscles which allow you to breathe. If you are bitten by a viper, and if you want to know what snake has bitten you, just this is on the side. It's just something you can just on the side. When you come to church, there are many things we learn. The shape of the head is like a spear, like a triangle. That one is a viper. That's how you know that is. And that one, equally, very, very dangerous and deadly. You find yourself starting to bleed. It's what we call vasculotoxic venom. And it causes you to bleed from your gums and from any old sore, and to bleed internally. And you die from internal bleeding. So you see somebody who is there like that, and the whole person is changing. I met a man once in Malaysia. He was bitten by a snake. He said it was Sunday morning, and I was playing in a river, in a waterfall. And one of the things people don't know is that snakes live everywhere. They are the most successful predators in the whole world. They live everywhere. They don't have to eat often. And they can swim. They love water. And they swim. They sleep in water. And this man, he told me, he came to pick me on Sunday morning. He was the person who was sent to pick me to church as a visiting preacher. He told me that, look, some years ago, instead of coming to church Sunday morning, I'm a businessman, I went to have a swim in the river under a waterfall. And he said that I was under the waterfall when a snake was in the waterfall. And the snake came on him in the water and bit him. He said, look, I almost died. He said half of his skin came off. He was in intensive care for several weeks with pipes and oxygen and whatever. That is what happens when a snake bites you. Now, this is what has happened to this world since the serpent entered into the garden and bit mankind with his venom and his poison against God. And said, has God said? Is there really God? Is it true what God said? And that is why whenever we preach, you are always asking yourself, has God said? Is it God who really said? Or is it the pastor who is saying? Are you sure? Is God really saying? God, is it God saying? And that is the poison that the serpent put into mankind that have destroyed. Look at us here. Look at us. Look at how you are. You do not look at yourself in the mirror before you came. You have adjusted so many things before you came to church this morning. You have covered so many things before you came to church this morning. You can see that you are changing even though you are not old. Hey, my boy. Look at these people who are getting married. You have to do so many things to make yourself look a certain way. Hey, people wear black when they want to look slim. They wear big things to cover so many. I don't want to. This is not the purpose of the service. So let's move on. So God sent his son knowing that his creation has been bitten by the snake. And he sent his son with the only remedy that can save this world, which was the blood of his son as a sacrifice, so that his son dies instead of us dying. Wow. Does he not deserve a mighty clap offering from you?
Yes.
He deserves a mighty clap offering from you. And he sent his son to come into this world and save you and save somebody like me. Somebody like you, somebody like me. You look at how you are. Look at the kind of things you think about. Tell your neighbor, excuse me for my thoughts. Tell your neighbor, excuse me for my bad thoughts in the service this morning. Goodness gracious. Hey. Now, how was life like? And that is what God is trying to give you. I'm going to show you four characteristics of the life that man had in the Garden of Eden. Number one, there was peace in the garden. How many know can see that? That is one thing that is not in this world today. Since the United Nations was formed in 19 whatever to bring peace, there have been more wars than ever before. Because United Nations cannot bring peace. ECOWAS cannot bring peace. Armed forces cannot bring peace. Nuclear weapons cannot bring peace. There is tension in the world. We all don't know when we will die. Huh? When you see the wild animals, there's so much tension. Recently, I was looking at a special video. We were watching a leopard, which was in the jungle in the night. A special camera that sees only in the night. And you see in the night, the leopard is moving to get, anytime it will eat, somebody will die. And you see the antelopes. This year will go like this. They are like ready to move. Tension. Nobody is at peace. Zebras, giraffes, everybody is under tension. The lions themselves, I used to think that it was easy for them. They were really enjoying. Till I understood their life. They really suffer. That's why they are so few. If another lion comes from another place which does not, is not from there, it will kill all the children and take over the wife, the women. That any children that are not his children, he will kill all of them, fight with the other one, sack him, and take over. Oh! There is tension. Tigers. If you are a tiger and you are not big, you are doomed. That's why the mother keeps looking after them. He goes to hunt and camp. If they catch them, sometimes when you go to the forest in India, you see baby tiger heads on the floor. Because the mother went to hunt and another animal came and caught it. Look at the tension among the wild animals. We were made to lie down with lions. You see the lion lying down here at peace. None of us know. Look at Reverend Eastwood's children. In a moment, they are gone. What do we do? How can we go about it? None of us knows. So who is next? Which telephone call are you going to get next? What are they going to say? There's a lot of tension, but Jesus said, look, I have come. I know the thief came, the serpent came to steal from your life, to destroy, to kill, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. And so Jesus came to give us peace in a world where there is no peace and where there is tension, war, and quarreling. Number two, in the Garden of Eden, they had a meaningful job, a meaningful life. They worked for God. God told them what to do. And they did it. He said, be fruitful, multiply. Hey! Name the animals. And he had something that was good. But everything that we are doing today has no meaning. You ask yourself, the money that you are acquiring, what is it for? The house you are building, what is it for? Who is going to stay in it? The cars you are buying, who is going to drive them? And how long will they be there for? The curtains you are hanging in your house, that's you are drawing the curtain. Who is the next person coming to draw these curtains after you? Hey! The children you've given birth to, who is coming to look after them? What are you doing? What are you getting? What is it going to amount to? Hey, a meaningless, like that's why Solomon said, vanity of vanity, all is useless. It's useless. Juanita is gone. She used to sit here. The only meaningful part of her life is that she served God. And we know it. Her degree had no meaning. What did she have? Her clothes, her shoes, her bags, her house, her curtains, nothing is gone. It has no meaning. But the meaningful part of her life is that she found God and she served God with a passion and in an example that she set for all of us. Yes. And I tell you, that's what Jesus said. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's why we encourage all of you to work for God. That's the only meaningful part of your life. Everything else is, what is it? You ask yourself, what is it amounting to? I can't imagine you as a shepherd to relinquish your job as a shepherd or relinquish your job as a pastor or relinquish anything that you do in the house of God. Explain to me. What else are you? What is it? I thank God that I am a pastor. I thank God that I serve him. I thank God that he called me and told me I'm changing your work. I'm changing your profession. I'm giving you something else to do with your life other than sharing chloroquine in this world and paracetamol. I'm a preacher. What is the use of everything? That's why Solomon said, I built gardens. I bought houses. I built houses. I did this. I planted gardens. I did everything amounts to zero. One time I was with a guy who was working for a millionaire. And he said, oh, the millionaire's aim is he's aiming to hit 1 billion. So every day he'll come for work. So today we had about 900 and something million. Then next time he said, oh, we hit 1 billion, but we've come down to 9 something. Then we come to 800. We went up to 900 million. His aim is to get 1 billion. Well, and then what will happen? One day I heard a man saying, I have 17 toilets and in my house and 16 bathrooms. So one day I went to stay in a very big house and I was in the house alone. And there were, I think, about 7 or 8 toilets and bathrooms. So I decided to use each one to see what it is like to have 17 toilets and bathrooms in your house. Ah! So I started to go number one, number two. Then I got tired. Hey! Vanity of vanities. Oh, it's vanity. But Jesus said, I have come to make your life meaningful. To put meaning back in your life. Another reason why Jesus has come is so that we will no longer be alone. Because that was the only thing that God said was not good. He said, it's not good that man is alone. Hey. You see, some time ago, people thought that to be spiritual, you must go into a monastery and hide there. Yeah. You go into a monastery and you be alone. You pray. Only you. You pray. And you stay there for years and you develop spirituality. No. You develop spirituality by being in a church and by being with people who annoy you, who offend you, who misbehave, who rub your shoulders. You develop spirituality by getting married. Marriage is one of the highest spiritual experiences. You experience foolishness and nonsense and it exalts your spirituality to the highest degree. Aye! Whether you like it or not, how you are, these people who are getting married, they are deceived. They don't know. You don't know. That is why when you get married, people will be shouting, don't know, don't know, don't know. You don't, it means you don't know what is going to happen to you. You don't know what is going to happen to you. Even if you are not married, you have a church. When you come to the church becomes another family to you. And your family, you will see. As those of you who say, hey, I'm going to my church. I'm going to another church. And this church, when I came, the ashes were speaking to me. You are immature. You are a little child. That's why God brought you here, so that you'll be offended by the ashes. Some of you come to the church, they steal your bag, they steal your mobile phone. Why are you angry? If they steal your mobile phone, why are you angry? Because it's a church. A church, unbelievers are invited. We want sinners to come. Not everybody here is not a saint. There are thieves sitting there. Ask your neighbor, are you one of these? I mean, who are you? You don't have to be annoyed. It's part of Christianity. We are reaching out. We are reaching to people. We are inviting people to come to the house of the Lord. Why should you be angry if somebody steals your bag? When you come to church, you have to hold your bag very well. Hold your mobile phone. Every day you forget your things. You've left your mobile phone. You are worshiping God. You put your mobile phone on the seat. What is wrong with you? You don't have to be offended in a church. That's why God puts you in a church, in a family, so that you will discover about yourself that you are not a perfect person or that you are not a good person. Yeah. It is marriage, even that will teach you that. So that's one of the things that's not good to. So I was very happy when Bishop Saki told me that he was getting married. I said, wow! It is not a good thing for him to be alone. Two days ago, I called him and he told me something had happened to him in the house. He was not well and he had collapsed on the floor. And he could not even make a phone call. And I said, look at something. If you even die in the house now, we don't even know. We will be there after 3 days. Then, so when he told me he's seen a beautiful sister in London that he wants to marry, I said, wow, it's a powerful thing. Because the Bible says it's not good for a man to be alone. I'm going for it. And I have my rope ready to hang anybody who wants to oppose. Yeah. Hey. Jesus came that we might have life. And might have it more abundantly. Amen. So, God is restoring life back to us. And of course, some of you may not have the opportunity to marry like he may have the opportunity to marry. But even if you don't have that opportunity to marry, and if you have the opportunity, some of you are getting older and older, you will not marry. I mean, brothers, your sperms are getting finished. You are growing older. Every day you say you are planning, you are going to buy a fridge, you are going to buy chairs, you are going to do this. What are you waiting for? When Adam and Eve, it's not good. Some of you say, I don't want any trouble with any woman. God wants to give you trouble, that is why He wants you to marry, to teach you spirituality. Training, you'll be trained, and you go higher in the spirit. Everlasting life. Tell somebody everlasting life. And the last reason why God wants to give you, why Jesus came to give us life, the last kind of life. See, I'm just showing you how the life was in the garden. How many understand what I'm talking about? How the life was in the garden. So the message I'm preaching, you can preach it again. Just think about the garden, how Adam and Eve were. They had peace. They had a meaningful job. They worked for God. They were, all the things they were doing were for God. It was for God. It was not, unlike after the fall, they were just sweating to eat bread. You see, many of you are just sweating to eat. Toil. Just to eat. It's just survival. After all, what do you have after all your years of work? You have just eaten and drank and bought clothes. So why don't you convert some of your energy and your time and your money to the kingdom of God so that in the day, either the doctor tells you or the mortuary man tells you that you are finally dead, or the day that you knock the coffin, co-co-co-co, and see that I am inside, then you will really know that I have really worked for God and I've lived something meaningful. I've done something meaningful with my life. And the last is to give us a life that never ends. Amen. Adam and Eve were going to live forever. They have brought this death that we are experiencing. When I see the number of people that I love, I can't imagine if I become an old man, how many times I will cry. How many funerals will I attend? How many days of sorrow will I experience? as this death thing takes over one after another person that is dear to you and that you cherish, how many days and how many of these can we experience? In fact, old people, they have really seen a lot of things. I cannot imagine it. But you see, Christ came. He said, I have come, Daddy. He is the comforter whom God has given to us. He's the savior. He's the one, when we stand at the graveside, he's the one who gives us hope. That's why we have hope. That's why we are not hopeless. Because we have hope, we know, I'll see you again. The day we said bye-bye to Juanita, we know. We know. I mean, some of us, we've been thinking, you know what she's doing? I'm sure she's doing some reception. I'm sure she's organized some ribbons and other things to for lighthouse. I'm sure she's forming a lighthouse fellowship or something there. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Knowing her the way she is, right now, she has organized the people who went ahead. Don't you think so, the way she is? She might have organized a choir, hymn choir, I mean, different things. The way she is, when she arrives. And because people think when you get to heaven, we are not going to work. No, without meaningful work, you go mad. When we go to heaven, we are going to work. It has been proven, if you want to make somebody mad, you give the person meaningless work. So during the Second World War, Hitler and the Germans would give professors and intelligent people, they would give them meaningless tasks. Carry this from here to here. And it has been proved within 30 days of being forced to do meaningless things, you can go mad. Yeah. That's why God calls and says, let me give you something with meaning. Something which lasts forever. Something which has eternal. Something that is real, that will endure. Wow. What a blessing. And he's given us this life that we may live forever. For God so loved the world. Sing it for me. That he gave his only son. That whoever, even if you don't have money, whoever believes in him should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Sing it for me, please.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him,
even you, even me,
will not perish but have eternal life.
Wow.
For God
so
loved
us so much
that he gave his only son, and that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life.
Shall we stand to our feet? Thank God for eternal life.
Oh, God did not send his son.
Did not send his son
into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus died to wash away.
Lift your hand and just thank Jesus for coming to save us from the snake bite of the serpent of Satan in our life, to kill, destroy, and confuse our lives. But God sent his son to die on the cross to save us from our sins and to rise from the dead and give us eternal life. The Bible says, he that has the son has life, and he that has not the son has not life. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you thanks. Just thank God. Thank God and ask God to help you to live a meaningful life. Use your money for something meaningful and give yourself to a meaningful cause for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As every head is bowed, every eye closed this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to God, to give your life to Jesus Christ. If you are here today, you want to say, Pastor, help me to know God. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. Then raise up your right hand right now, wherever you are. I'm going to pray with you as we close. God bless you. Lift it up high. Thank you. Pastor, pray with me. I want to have eternal life. I want to live forever. I don't want to die. I want to live forever. I want Jesus to save me. And I want to be a new person this Easter Sunday morning. Then lift up your hand quickly. I'm giving you this chance. God is calling you. God is offering you eternal life. God bless you. God bless you. I see all your hands. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Now, if you've lifted your hand, I want you to come to me. Take your Bible. Take your bag and come to the front. I'm going to meet you down here. Come from wherever you are. Come from the side. Come from the back. Come here. Come, my friend. Come, come. I want to pray with you here. Come to Jesus. God sent his son to die on the cross for you so that you will not go to hell, but you have eternal life. Come on, my friend. Come and receive eternal life. Come to Jesus. God bless you. Come on. Come from wherever you are, far away. It doesn't matter. Come on. Come to Jesus. God bless you. Bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. Come to Jesus. Come and have eternal life, everlasting life, by believing. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son has not life. Lift up your hands in front here and just close your eyes, and I'm going to pray. Whatever I pray, just pray it after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for coming to save me from the snake, from the serpent, from the devil. Today, I humble myself and I come to the cross of Jesus. Oh God, please forgive me for my sins. Oh, Jesus, please wash away my sins with your blood. Today, say today, I receive Jesus as my Savior and my Master and my Lord. Oh, God, accept me as your child. From today, I will serve you. Oh, Jesus, I will follow you. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, I am yours and I will serve you. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.